we might say that is the law, as it were imposed upon the soul, it will not invade directly. The soul therefore lives like an exiled king. The kingdom is the kingdom of body, life and mind. Of which soul is the real king, but ego has usurped the kingdom of the soul and rules as if he is the king. And the soul, knowing all this, remains behind like an exiled king. And according to the law imposed upon it, what is the law? That consent must come from below, consent must come from body, life and mind, and aspiration must rise from here. Then in answer to that, the soul can invade. That is why the need of aspiration from here, from below. The greater the aspiration here, the greater will be the soul's, its soul's coming in front. The screen will be thinned. In some moments of great aspiration, the screen may suddenly snap, and we may come directly into contact with the soul. Even our ego can experience the soul, mind can experience the soul, and soul itself may manifest for some time. But if the outer being is still thick, that snapping is only for a momentary time. Again it may close. And this happens to us sometimes when we are transported for some time into an experience where everything becomes alive. Everything seems so intimate. All sense of separation disappears. A tremendous perception of the divine everywhere appears before us. But after some time it again disappears. But this memory is very important, because through that memory again we can go back to it. Now what the soul does is that to the extent to which body, life and mind aspire for the rule of the soul, it puts forward its energy, soul energy. Now putting forth of the soul energy creates a formation of the soul. This formation is called the psychic being, as distinct from soul. Soul is called psychic entity. This formation is called psychic being. Psychic being has an individuality. It has a formation. It's a packet of soul energy. Something of para-prakriti, as distinguished from tamas, rajas and sattva, begins to enter into this sattva, rajas and tamas movement. It's an infiltration, as it were, invasion of the soul on the body, life and mind. And in the beginning this formation is very small. Therefore Katha Upanishad calls it angushta matram. It is only not bigger than the thumb. because this soul formation in the beginning is a small formation. Depending upon the aspiration of the body, life and mind and of the ego, now this individuality of the psychic being, if it grows more and more, then even the mind, life and body also get affected, and their formations also become more and more in the image of that individuality. Instead of these individualities, this egoistic individuality, they begin to have stamp of the psychic individuality. But this is a long process, very, very long process. In one lifetime, it is ordinarily not possible to complete the whole cycle, in which the psychic being can fully develop its individuality and can stamp itself upon the body, life and mind. And so that the body, life and mind become psychicized, so to say. To remove the ego individuality and to develop the soul individuality, and to manifest the totality of the divine consciousness in body, life and mind, is the real purpose of our being here on the earth. And until that is done, we are obliged to come back again and again, birth after birth. Now in this process, an important stage is reached when we begin to become aware of immortality of the soul. Our outer being, body, life and mind and ego, which are ignorant of the soul, when they begin to become aware of the presence of the soul and the immortality of the soul, which is indeed the inextinguishable soul, it realizes the soul is immortal. Now this awareness is a very important stage of development. Normally, we are all the time in a sense of insecurity. In a sense, you might say our whole life is full of anxiety and fear because we feel disintegration, threat of disintegration. Nothing in the world is so dangerous to us as the threat of our personal disintegration. This is the main anxiety of every human being. What every human being is doing is to build up his formation. And he is constantly under the threat that what is being built up is being, may be disintegrated, may be attacked. Even the body, for example, is when you form the body, in our childhood, how much the mother has to take care of the child to see that the body really takes formation, and a good formation, sound formation, and is very much worried about any process by which sickness may come, fall may come, dislocation of the body may come about. Disintegration of the body is greatly feared. And our constant attempt is to make the body as capable of integration as possible. Similarly of our life formation, similarly of mental formation, our constant attempt is to make our body, life and mind as much integrated as possible. And that is because our mission here is to create here a constant mutation of individualized divinity. Constant mutation of individualized divinity. This is the mission. Therefore, constancy is all the time attempted by us. All that we are doing in the world is to have constancy, integration. Even in the field of change, we know the whole world is changing all the time. Therefore, in this changing movement to create constancies and individualized constancies, something that is true of our Jivatman, that is our constant effort. And even though we may not be aware of it, all our anxieties ultimately are reduced to this. We are constantly taking care to see that ultimately we may succeed in this task. Even unknowingly, we are doing all the time this. We are constantly obeying God's command, whether we are aware of it or not, that we have to create here in our body a constantly mutable, individualized divine. This is what we are constantly attempting to do. But not knowing the secret of it, not knowing what is the way by which we can do, we are constantly struggling ignorantly and constantly being attacked, constantly being disintegrated. But even when death takes place, we are reborn again, so that again the task of that thing continues. So death is not really death, not real disintegration. It is only a passage by which again a further attempt of integration takes place on a larger scale, on a bigger scale that the soul intends.